Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Well, the whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord, but it depends whether that's how you see it. A lot of people just live their lives, same old life every day, and they don't open their eyes and see that in fact the whole earth is full of his glory. Now, in the New Testament, these words are quoted in the Gospel of John, and we're told that Isaiah saw the glory of Jesus when he was high and lifted up. Well, it means that this was a kind of a prophecy of that the greatest display of God's glory was when Jesus was lifted up on the cross. Now, when Jesus died, he died pretty well naked, with everybody mocking him that, you can't save yourself, it hasn't worked out for you, you're a fake, you're a fraud. And everyone mocking at him that, he's now failed, when actually that was the great expression of God's glory. So the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal which he'd taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, your sin is purged." And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" In other words, I need to send somebody to go and do a preaching commission, do a mission. Who wants to go? Then I said, and you can imagine what sort of voice Isaiah said this in, because just a moment ago he'd been saying, "Woe is me, I'm going to die, I'm a sinner." But now he's been cleansed and he says, "Here am I, well, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but you will not understand. Keep on seeing, but you won't realize. Make the heart of this people dull, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and repent and be healed." Well, this was a vision, we read in John's Gospel, of Jesus on the cross, high and lifted up in glory. It's looking at it, of course, from God's standpoint, because the glory was not seen in the eyes of men. And yet, out of that vision, Isaiah is convicted of his sin. But then out of the same vision, he's forgiven. And then on that basis, he says, "Okay, I believe I'm forgiven. I will go on this great preaching mission." When you look at all the people that God has sent out on preaching missions, many of them began by first of all being convicted of their sinfulness. You think of the disciples. They had refused to believe the words of the women that Jesus had risen. And he stands in front of them as the Son of God with eyes as a flaming fire risen from the dead and says, "You fools and slow of heart to believe. Why didn't you believe all the prophets spoke? And how many times didn't I tell you that I would die and be resurrected after 3 days? You fools." And they're sort of standing there looking a bit dumb, looking at the ground, thinking, "Yep, what a fool I am." And then he says, "Right, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach this good news that I'm risen from the dead. Preach the message that you yourselves didn't believe, but now you do." Same with Paul. He was convicted of his sin of persecuting Christians, and then he was sent to preach. God says, "Okay." Well, Jesus says, "I'll send you now far away to the Gentiles." You think of King Nebuchadnezzar when he's convicted of his pride, and he accepts it, and then he says, "Okay, and now I want the whole world to know that the God of Israel is the true God." Or you think of David after he sins with Bathsheba and Uriah, then he repents, And then he says, I want the whole world to know. I'm going to tell the whole world to believe in God's grace. And it was the same here with Isaiah. And it's the same with all of us. That if you go out to preach the gospel, you should go out humble. Because God values humility more than anything else. What he doesn't want is proud people, arrogant people going out with their message. Just really looking at themselves in the mirror, thinking how wonderful they are. So, the message was to Israel to repent, but actually, because they didn't want to understand, their heart was made dull and their ears were heavy and they shut their eyes lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand and repent. So why don't people understand the Bible's message? Why do people say, oh, I don't get it, I don't get the message? Well, it says here that they shut their eyes so that they don't have to repent.
Because they do, because they think they don't have a message, but they do have a message.
That's right. They think that there isn't a message there when there is a message there. And the reason why they say, oh, I don't understand it, or oh, I don't get all that stuff, is because underneath, in their heart of hearts, they realise this is a call to repent and to change. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he replied, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man to live in, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men into captivity, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. So this is the old question, Lord, how long? Jesus, when are you going to come back? God, why don't you get on and act? And all through the Psalms and the prophets and all the faithful people of God have always asked this question, Lord, how long? And the reply is, well, until really the judgments are all finished, and basically until Israel repent and until God's people repent. Because he goes on, okay, there's going to be all this desolation, but yet a tenth part will be in it and will repent. And they will be like an oak tree whose stump remains when it's cut down. So the holy seed will be like this stump. So there's going to be a remnant, a minority, a tenth, maybe literally 10% of the Jews in the land today, or maybe it's significant, it's symbolic. All the same, a small number will repent. And that's the answer to the question, Lord, how long? Well, how long? When the tenth part repent. And that's why I'm always keen to preach to Jewish folks and to take the gospel to Israel. Because at some point there's going to be a terrible situation come upon the land of Israel. And this remnant, when they repent, that's the answer to the question, Lord, how long? That's why you can't put a date on your calendar and say, on this date I reckon Jesus will come. Because it's all dependent on the repentance of people, and God's not going to force anyone to repent. So that's how God is. He doesn't force us, doesn't force anybody, but he wants us all to come to repentance.